This is Chastity Pod, an informational resource about our favorite kink, chastity.
We're your hosts. I'm Denai Dumpling.
And I'm Locked Fist Monster.
And we're chastity veterans. In this pod, we talk about all things chastity related.
So if you're cage curious and want to begin locking up,
or a key holder who fantasizes about caging that special someone,
tune into Chastity Pod. So let's get locked and stay locked. And welcome to Chastity Pod. So we're recording this October 15th, 2023, middle of October. A little bit out of order from the rest of our episodes. This is sort of an interlude. We don't have a guest. It's just Denied Dumpling and me chatting halfway through October. So we last recorded an episode, God, a couple months ago. What have you been up to? What's the update for you, Denied Dumpling?
In terms of life updates, funny enough, when we first started this season two of Chastity Pod, I was dating this boy. And although things went really, really great for a couple of months, we eventually realized we weren't compatible. And just for continuity, I guess I'm single again, recently so. And I'm, again, happily subservient to Sir CJ. We've actually taken things much deeper as these years have progressed, and I think we're moving towards way more objectification, master slave energy. I'm very happy with how our kink relationship, his and mine, has grown. So for Locktoberfest, of course,
before we jump into Locktoberfest, I actually want to push you on that a little bit more.
Tell me more.
Okay, so a few questions here. One is, has the romantic relationship you had for the past few months, where for a while you weren't even seeing Sir CJ, you took a break from being Sir CJ's sub to be with your now ex. How has that caused you to sort of reevaluate your relationship with Sir CJ? How has that caused you to, you and Sir CJ, to sort of re-examine the roles that you play in each other's lives?
Well, interestingly enough, I always anticipated that whatever relationship I would jump into in the future would always be an open one. I just have my personality is very much, I can love two things at the same time. It'll be a different relationship for each. And I think that when my ex and I first entered the relationship, there was this understanding that Sir CJ has been a dom in my life for over 4 or 5 years now. And I value him not only as a dom sub relationship, he and I also have a very deep friendship. And regardless of whatever relationship I was going to go into, I would like to keep the friendship and ideally continue this dom sub dynamic we have. It's something I find very comforting. I feel very safe being who I am, being submissive to him. When we closed off for monogamy, I learned a lot about how, as much as I love and can love one person, it would be unrealistic of me to try to project all of my needs, all of my kink needs onto him, especially if he isn't interested in every single thing I want to do. And that, to the spirit of, is the reason why I like to be open. I like to not limit myself to the kind of kinks I have. And I think we did it right. Like you said, I also learned that, another thing I learned in being monogamous with him for long periods is that it's perfectly okay for people who love each other dearly to understand that because of this incompatibility, things just don't work out, and that's okay. It's a fact of life.
Yeah. And when you say incompatibility, do you mean a sexual incompatibility? Do you mean just a relationship incompatibility?
Both? Oh, sorry. Yes. Let me elaborate. We had a lot of things in life goals that aligned really well, things in terms of like future goals, children, how we wanted to progress. But sexually, I think this person wanted me to be much more tied down. Even though we talked about being open, every time we opened up, insecurities would come in. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, it felt like we were forcing ourselves to be different people. And that's why it didn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah. Sexual compatibility is absolutely crucial in a relationship. Like my husband and I don't share all of the same kinks. He's not anywhere near into chastity as I am. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy darkroom sex as much as he does. We mesh well, very well together. We're both physically very attracted to each other. Two, the sex that we have with each other is very good sex. But if it was the only sex that either of us was having in our lives, I think we would both be a bit disappointed. I think that we both have other needs and other desires that, like, I enjoy fisting a lot more than he does. He enjoys fisting as an occasional treat, maybe once or twice a month, whereas fisting for me is something that is a weekly occurrence, if not more mm-hmm. frequent, mm-hmm. Either as a top or a bottom. Chastity, also another thing that he can sort of take it or leave it. It doesn't do much for him when it comes to the headspace. For me, it's a huge, crucial part of my headspace of my sex life. Like I can take breaks from chastity for a while, and I very frequently do. In fact, I've been in the midst of a break since the end of July, early August.
Top fist monster.
I've been top fist monster this entire time. You know, it's a little odd to be the host of a chastity podcast and also to be unlocked for Locktober. But that's the current state of things. Although I'd like to point out that I'm unlocked for a few reasons. One, because I'm in the sort of dom top headspace. Two, because I just have like a lot of other stuff going on in the real world, you know,
it makes chastity difficult right now.
Right. Then, you know, like I was lying in bed this morning, stroking my cock, and like, you know, a lot of the fantasies I was having in bed this morning were like chastity related. I was like, maybe I should lock up again. But then I was thinking about just like all of this other logistical stuff I have to be getting done right now. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to hold off on it for a little bit.
I mean, to be in the spirit of Locktober is to revel in the beauty, the sexual excitement that is locked boys,
right?
Both as a top and as a bottom, mm-hmm. you know, or anything in between as a side, you know, if your thoughts are with boys or theys or NBs in cages, you're doing it right. People in cages, you're doing it right.
Exactly. And then the final and probably the most exciting reason why I am unlocked at the moment is, and I hinted at this, I think, at a few other times we've talked a few other episodes we've recorded, but I decided that I was going to gauge up my Prince Albert. So I'm in the midst of doing that. I was for like 5 years, I was at a 2 gauge, 6 millimeter in diameter, 6 millimeter in diameter of like the ring part that actually goes through your urethra. Mm-hmm. I was at a 2 gauge, and for a variety of reasons, I think it'd be hotter to be much larger than that. So I've been slowly gauging up. I'm currently sitting at 0 gauge, 8 millimeters. I'm going to go up to 9 millimeters, probably around the end of October, early November. And mm-hmm. then roughly around Christmas, New Year's, I think I'm going to make the final step to 10 millimeters to 00 gauge.
So quick question. Whenever you have gotten used to a gauge to a PA and you have a custom cage made for it, does that mean if you gauge up, you need to remake that custom cage all over again just to fit the urethral?
This is going to be a thing. Yeah. So my BA 28, which is my standard cage, that the middle part of it, you know, that has that urethral plug,
the stem,
that's 2 gauge. And so I was talking with the guy from Badass Workroom, being like, hey, would it be possible to have, you know, another another just the stem made, like just that middle part made. And he's like, look, you can give me the measurements for it and I'll make it. But the fact is that like, this is a custom piece of metalwork. If I don't have all three pieces in front of me, you know, I can't guarantee that the fit's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
So the question is, do I want to purchase just the urethral stem piece? Or do I want to go with a whole brand new cage?
We finished a recording with some of our other special guests a couple months ago, and we were originally thinking about wrapping up this season, but Oktoberfest happened just a week ago. October happened.
Literally a week ago. It's been a long week, but literally Oktoberfest in New York City, the first, as far as I know, the first event that was specifically targeted for a bunch of caged guys to show up at once and fuck each other.
Mm-hmm.
That happened last week in New York, and we were both there.
Yeah. Locked Fist flew all the way in just to partake in the festivities. And the post for Locktoberfest is still up on Red Eye. I'm just going to share with our listeners who aren't from New York or aren't aware of what Locktoberfest is. So Caged Jock, Locked Chastity Man Extraordinaire, basically made a sex party called Locktoberfest on the first week of October. It was Friday, October 6th, 2023. And basically it was a underground basement where they used to host other sex parties in Brooklyn. And it was a underground basement area remade to be specifically for sex parties. You go in, it's lowly lit. There's different areas and rooms for you to explore, different surfaces for you to fuck on, some soft, some slings. There's like a glory hole maze. And the intention that Caged Jock had was that any bottom that came to this event had to follow his rules, that they had to be locked in chastity the entire night. And you have to pleasure any tops that are unlocked and serve them with your mouth or your hole. Second rule, other than if you're a bottom and being locked, is you have to also be naked if you're a bottom. Other than socks and sneakers and, you know, whatever harness or collar, the only other thing for tops is you cannot lock up and switch back and forth between being a bottom or a top. If there's a top, you're a top. There were very, the wording on the event was very like dom sub slave master, like you come in with the role and you have to fill it. It was very kink forward. It wasn't like a casual sex party. Can you tell me what your expectations were before going to the party?
I think my expectations end up being pretty much exactly what the party was. I knew that a party that was happening in New York and Brooklyn was going to be somewhat of an ad hoc space. You know, it's New York doesn't have any real useful bathhouses, and I knew that there would be a lot of locked guys there because, you know, I'm on Chastity Twitter. Everybody on Chastity Twitter was retweeting it and saying whether they'd be there or not, and it seemed overwhelmingly the majority of them were going to go as locked. And like I was texting, you know, Switch Twink XL beforehand, and we were both going like, yeah, there's going to be so many locked guys there that we're both just going to go as tops because the locked boy to top ratio is going to be so skewed that, you know, it'll be fun just to plow our way through them, which it was. So my expectations were basically exactly what the event ended up being.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Did you have any expectations that differed from what the event was?
The night turned out to be, like you said, in some ways, much like I expected, and then in other ways, kind of not. My original expectation for the space is this is Caged Jock made a event that sounded quite intense on paper. For you to go in, you have to know that you want to be a locked bottom, a voracious sub to be used. And if you were a top, you know that you were there to basically bask in a locked boy wonderland with sexy holes and hungry mouths for you to use. And the space that he chose was, you know, perfect and sleazy. It was very conducive for people to be uninhibited, plenty of dark spaces for people to crawl into corners, hot and heavy sex, any corner you turned around. But as you said, it also skewed very heavily locked to tops. Of course, this is Cage Jock's first party. Maybe he could in the future include in the survey when they first purchase if they're a locked bottom or if they are a unlocked top. That might, you know, help demographics of equalizing for future parties.
I don't think it really will, because I think that the vast majority of people into chastity are guys who want their cocks locked. Like, you're going to, if you're hosting a party that's specifically chastity focused, you're overwhelmingly going to attract just a lot of locked boys. And I don't think there's any real way around that. I think that I think he handled it pretty well by encouraging, you know, people to bring to fist each other and to bring, you know, strap-ons, so that the locked boys could have their way with each other a bit. But I don't think there's a way to throw a chastity party that ends up with there being a high unlocked top to locked bottom ratio. I think if you want that sort of ratio, you have to go to like just a normal bathhouse, where odds are if you go as a locked boy, you will be the only locked boy in that bathhouse. Regardless, about three quarters of the guys, maybe 7/8 of the guys, were locked. It was a very locked heavy party. I went as a top. I brought with me a sub I've been playing with in New York a bit, who came as a locked bottom, and who is delightful.
Beautiful ass. He has a beautiful ass.
He does have a great, I mean, he has a great body overall. Like, he hits the gym and it shows, you know. So I came as a top. I brought with me one of my top friends. I also brought with me a locked sub that I've been playing with. You came with Sir CJ, and who else did you come with?
Yeah, absolutely. I was, again, sub for Sir CJ. Now I currently call him Master, and he had me collared with a leash. We came with a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends who are also mutually locked subs who came. My slave sister, Ryoma, also came. Ryoma is another slave of Sir CJ's. And we were both collared, leashed. It was kind of cute. We saw a lot of other New York mutuals that we met up there too. Really great crowd.
Do we want to shout out some of the people we ran into, or?
I mean, yeah, there were some big names that we met there.
There was Sir Malice Christian there.
Definitely.
There was a Switch Twink XL. Switch Twink XL, yeah. There was Pup Scout there, who I had the pleasure of fisting. Man, there were a lot of people there who I was like, I vaguely know you somehow. How do I know you? I was like, oh, right, you know, we follow each other on Twitter.
People flew in from all over. 6'4" tall fag Austin Jacobs came. Just a giant locked up. He was a joy to meet. Harry the Cage Boy. Harry the Cage Boy has such a body on him. Oh my God. Finally got to meet him, and he flew in for the night as well.
I flew in for the night as well. I flew in from Chicago on Friday, and I flew back to Chicago on Saturday. So it was I came explicitly for that event.
Yeah, Switch Twink XL is also, I don't think, native to New York, and he came specifically just to fuck twinks. Oh, also, I guess I didn't cover this in the you know, little chat we had earlier, but I'm exploring this new side of me. Mm-hmm. I've really, like, had so much experience being a locked person, locked submissive, that I'm finding it to be very enjoyable to mentor other people, like why we do this pod and such, on being locked themselves. And the more I mentor people, like the idea, the fantasy of topping them with a strap on, these beautiful locked bottoms, just it's just been like my newest fascination. And so I actually went to Locktoberfest with the intention of not only being Sir CJ's hole and slave for the evening, but I also wanted to be with strap on to peg any beautiful locked bottoms I could see who would be down for that.
You had a massive strap on with you, and you were destroying some holes. There was I'm blanking on his name, but there was that that locked bottom I had in that sling.
Oh, he was beautiful. He was a beast.
Right, who I was fisting and who I was summoning tops to come fuck him, and I had you come over and peg him for a bit.
So Locktoberfest, I think HJock did a lot of incredible things with this party. I think that making this event happen showed that there was really a desire for this kink to be centralized, because one of the highlights for me that night was how much I socialized with like-minded people.
Right.
Surrounded by these beautiful men in all body shapes, thick men, thin men, tall men, short men, all locked up, looking at each other, touching each other. That was very empowering and very liberating. Lockfist, tell me your highlights for the night.
So my highlights for the night was, I have a couple. The first is that the sub that I brought with me, I first went over to his apartment when I flew into town, and he was cleaning out and we were prepping, and I gave him a good quick fuck, just to test, just to make sure that like he was all ready. And then we took him, then we went to the party. And I meant I was fucking him in the sling, and I meant to hold off. I meant to delay my load for a bit, but his hole was just so good. And I fucking him in that sling while he was all caged up and just enjoying it so much was just so hot that I couldn't hold back. And I shot my load into him like 15 minutes into the party. So I started out like before you even arrived, I had already bred him. So I started off the evening with a bit of a bang. But then I had a lot of fun going around and fisting quite a few guys. I had brought with me my fisting lube. There was a sink and like towel set up so that you could wash your hands thoroughly in between rounds of fisting guys, which is very important. So I was being diligent about that. And I fisted three or four guys. Maybe more. I lost track. At least three guys. I definitely fisted at least three guys.
Fuck, that's hot.
It was very hot. And really, really just being in a room where there were just so many locked, horny guys, and like being locked was the default. Was not something you had to explain. It was just really liberating and empowering and just enjoyable. Yeah. So I had a great time. Definitely worth it. And then the next morning, I bred my sub one more time before flying out, which was also superb. You know, because it's nice to wake up in bed with someone and they've cleaned out thoroughly the night before, so you can just slip right in there and fuck away.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's perfect. Yeah. The reason. Oh my god, I was gonna do the Folgers singing a jingle and then do something with breeding, but I fucked it all up.
Yeah, well, you know what?
The best part of waking up is breeding in your sub. There we go.
That's you should be their new head of advertising for Folgers. The best part of every morning.
Folgers, if you're listening, do call in.
Right. Getting up, fucking your cage sub, and then having some coffee. You know what? Fuck the coffee. Just fucking the cage sub is the best part of waking up. So overall, great event. Do you have any constructive criticism, any suggestions for the next time an event like this might be held?
So actually, it's funny that you say that. So my master and our group were all chatting about the event during and also after. We found that at certain points in the night, it got so I guess packed with like the smell and the density of sweat and sex that it got almost too intense. You couldn't stay in the side rooms. You had to go to the main space where it was a little more open, a little bit more ventilated, because it is a closed off basement space. And we were talking about like, oh, we wish there was like any like way to like ventilate so it wasn't so uncomfortably thick. You could really get winded in there at points. We took a couple frequent breaks. But we also don't know that there's any space in New York City that could really host this sort of sex party and be every single thing we wanted. Right.
The trouble with these, with New York specifically for events like this, is that bathhouses are the perfect places for events like this. You need to have places for people to retreat to maybe get a drink, to soak in the hot tub, to sit in the steam room, to relax and recuperate a bit before going back into the mix. And good bathhouses have that balance, have that mix of good spaces to fuck and good spaces to relax and socialize and get your wind back. If you're in New York though, and you're limited to these like cramped basement venues, you don't really have that option. So like Steamworks in Chicago would be an excellent place to host an event like this. Or, you know, there's many bathhouses across the US that would be an excellent place to host an event like this.
I mean, Paddles would have been an incredible space, but you know, Paddles closed down.
Did Paddles close down?
I think so.
Dang. I mean, like I don't stay in touch with the New York scene, so I've
yeah.
When did that happen? Was it like a victim of the pandemic?
It could have been a lagged victim of the pandemic. I think so. It was either last year or this year. I think most likely last year, because I haven't heard of any events there since. A great thing that Cage Jacques did was he made sure there was a refreshment and snacks yes. stand. There was plenty of seltzers, soda, if you need some sugar to help you through. There was Welch's for snacks. It was great. I thoroughly enjoyed his concessions corner.
Yeah, but the crippling thing for that, not crippling, but the biggest detriment to it was that there wasn't a good space to recuperate and get back in the swing of it. And like I left after about 3 or so hours. I was one of the first people there, and then I was one of the first who ended up leaving, because towards the end of the evening for me, I was pushing rope, like I just couldn't keep my dick hard, and I was like sweating, and I was tired, and I was thirsty, and there just wasn't a good space for me to get my steam back and go for another round.
Right.
And so instead of sticking around and trying to go for another round, I called it a night and I left. So I know Cage Jock's going to hold this event in the future. I think he's probably going to hold it again in New York and probably in a similar space. If events like this start happening in more places, I really strongly recommend that they happen at bathhouses or bathhouse similar type places where there is that option to recuperate a bit.
Yeah. Unfortunately, bathhouses are still not allowed in New York in the sexual cruisy sense that would be overt enough to host this kind of event.
Yeah,
which is why we're looking at underground basements and stuff.
They're banned in New York. They're banned still in Boston. A lot of bathhouses in the U.S. got banned during the AIDS epidemic, and then the cities just never listed those bans. I think bathhouses hold a crucial space in the gay kink community. And I think it's frequently an underrated role that they play, that they're really crucial for forming connections, for allowing a space for people to explore themselves. And I think that cities that have banned them have done a great disservice to the local gay communities.
Hear, hear. Speaking of consent, so the space is obviously supposed to be very hypersex, and there's kind of like a untold kind of language that I feel has been maybe lost in the world of cruising, because if I'm going to a place where the original description of the event is this sexual, if I'm there and someone touches mm-hmm. me, I understand that it like touches my ass, caresses my like nipples, or like, you know, cups my balls. I would not get offended. I would expect it, in fact. And then it's up then to me for me to reciprocate or to make known that I would not like to play with them. But I would not find it offensive if someone crossed personal space in this kind of event. And I found that like for that night, mm-hmm. There were a lot of people who were very shy wallflowers. And I really wanted to like be in this like super hot and heavy space. But I also at certain times felt like I was just watched.
I mean,
and I would have liked a lot of very hot people to join in.
I think that's true of pretty much all spaces like this. I don't think that this was particular to this party. I don't know how much experience you have with bathhouses, because you've mostly been in New York and not a lot of good bathhouses there.
Oh, right. Not a lot of good bathhouses.
One, I think New York gay community has lost a bit of the bathhouse body language that cities that still have good bathhouses have developed. But even cities that do have good bathhouses, people are going to be a little bit shy, especially at the start. And there are going to be a lot of people who just watch, a lot of people who enjoy watching. And you have to be a little bit extroverted to get the experience that you want. You have to be like when I had a sub in the sling and I was having him gangbanged, I had to, you know, like physically point to like tops who were wandering by and being like, come over here and fuck this bottom. Right. I had to be explicit and extroverted to get that, even though there was this guy getting gangbanged in the sling, in order to get, you know, a successful rotation of tops to be coming through, I had to be actively recruiting them.
Whoa.
I mean, I've spent a lot of time in bathhouses. I've developed the art of this, you know, but that's just the nature of the event. And I think that's actually a good thing. I think people erring on the side of being a little bit shyer and a little bit more cautious is actually good, because erring on the other side is how you end up in the realm where, you know, someone who's really not enjoying themselves ends up having experiences they don't like. And I think erring on the side of caution is the right way to err. I think that's the right way to have people calibrated. So Denied Dumpling, it sounds like you had a great night at Locktoberfest. Sounds like you've got a great group of friends, great little subby pod with your master. What's your main takeaway from all this?
You know, it feels very liberating to be part of the kink family that I have. I've really grown to appreciate it more and more with each coming year. I'm very proud to call Sir CJ my master. I'm very proud to be collared and to be shown off as his trophy fag in public. I enjoy the role and the friendship and the kink relationship we have very much. And I'm very happy that I get to be a slave object for him to, you know, carry on a leash and parade around in these kink centric events. I'm very thankful for Locktoberfest, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Fantastic. All right. So to wrap up this episode, what are you looking forward to? What new and exciting things are coming to your life?
Oh, upcoming. Actually, there's this really interesting, I guess it's like a social gathering for masters and slaves and or people who love dom sub experiences. It's called MAST, MAST. And there's a chapter in a lot of states. It's MAST is masters and slaves together. And usually they meet like once a month, depending on where you are, what state you're in. They also host events, you can find them in things like Mal and Claw. Master and I have been going to these meetings very recently. We joined their chapter. And I'm looking forward to going to the next meeting, because in these spaces, it's very much like masters are there. They sit clothed, and then the slaves go in, they're collared. They can present however they feel comfortable, but they're encouraged to be naked if they so please. And it's a very affirming place to be if you're in these very like serious dom sub relationships and you want to meet people who live a similar lifestyle.
That sounds very hot, very fun.
Yeah, there's some cute people there. How about you, Locktfist? Tell me, what's new and exciting upcoming for you?
So the biggest exciting things for me the coming weeks and months are, one, my husband and I need to finish decorating and unpacking our apartment and setting up our guest room / playroom. I know, very exciting. Right now it's just filled with unpacked boxes. Like it's a mess at the moment, but hopefully, you know, in the coming weeks, we'll have it in a more ordered state. And then I can start inviting people over to enjoy it. The other thing that I guess I'm excited about is the gauging up of my, the stretching of my Prince Albert and mm-hmm. What's going to be some sort of new custom piece of chastity hardware in the future, whether that's only just a part of a cage or an entirely new cage.
We'll find out.
And then for this pod, I think the exciting things that are coming up are, one, we've got the rest of season two and our special guests coming up the next few episodes. So stick around and enjoy listening to that. The other thing is that we've decided we're going to hold a Kickstarter. We've incurred some costs in bringing this content to you. We'd love to continue bringing this content to you guys for free wherever you're listening. But to do that, we are going to stick out the proverbial hat and, you know, ask for a buck or two. And if you're enjoying listening to our stuff, give us some money and we'll spend it on sound editors.
Editing is no joke. Anyone who's ever edited an entire podcast episode, this is a labor of love, and it really brings out the inner perfectionist in you.
Yeah.
It's taxing.
Yeah. Sound editing is incredibly time consuming. And if you hire someone else to do it and hire someone else to do it properly, is shockingly, shockingly expensive. So I guess the Kickstarter money will go almost entirely to sound editing, and whatever's left over, maybe Denied Dumpty and I will treat ourselves to sex toys with.
If there's any left, I'm getting an iced coffee.
Yes. If there's $3.50 left, you're getting a coffee. Got it.
Where are you getting a cold brew for $3.50? This is New York.
I don't know. I don't drink coffee.
Oh, there we go. Spoken like a true non-coffee drinker.
I don't know what this costs. Yeah.
Well, Lockedfist, we did it. We went to the very first Locktoberfest together.
Yes. And let's hope there's another one soon that we can reconnect with. And maybe that one I'll be locked at.
Right. When a Top Fist monster decided to go back into hibernation, right? Before we close out, Chastity Pod would like to thank Cage Jock for coordinating and making Locktoberfest NYC a reality. We really appreciated the party and we look forward to going to the next one. Also, shout out to Kink3D Designs. We saw you, KD, working the table all night while people were fucking left and right. I knew it must have smelled crazy in there, so kudos to you. And Lockfist, I will see you in the next episode.
All right. See you next week.
All right. Bye now.
This is Chastity Pod, a passion project brought to you by two chastity enthusiasts. I'm Lockfist Monster.
And I'm Denai Dumpling. And you're listening to The Sweet Sound of Chastity by Boys Noize and Pussy Riot featuring Alice Glass.
If you like our content and want to stay connected, follow us at Chastity Pod on Twitter.
That's at CHASTITYPOD on Twitter. We'll see you there. Я скажу на место, просто тупо в мессенджер, теперь навечно.